Welcome to Abiding in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." This program is designed to instill in you that all your needs are met when you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Listen now to the Holy Spirit as a Bible teacher and host, Leisha Cantrell, reveals the Word of God.
The Holy Spirit, Divine Comforter. We've been talking about praying in the name of Jesus. And praying in Christ's name means coming in prayer on the basis of Jesus' merits and not our own. Christ's full name is the Lord Jesus Christ, which means Jehovah, the Savior, God's anointed. So that is the name of the one whose merit we depend on for access to God. Sometimes we feel that we're totally alone facing all of life's matters on our own. But when we pray in the name of Jesus, we are united with Him, and we also, the second requirement of praying in the name of Jesus, is in correspondence with Christ's character and objectives. So we come with all of this in mind, and this, of course, is first encountered in the new birth, where we come through the Word of God to understand who Jesus is. And then we can pray in His name because we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of Christ. And so He has said in John 14:25-27, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John 14:25-27. "When the Counselor comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me." John 15:26. "Now I'm going to Him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." John 16:5-7. Referring to His complete identification with His Father in nature and works, Jesus could say, "I and the Father are one." He could have likewise affirmed, "I and the Holy Spirit are one," for the Gospels reveal a holy intimacy existing between Jesus and the Divine Spirit. Jesus' use of the phrase, "I by the Spirit of God," in Matthew 12:28, must not be limited to the casting out of demons recorded in the narrative, for it applies to our Lord's every action. He lived and walked in the Spirit, and all Jesus taught about the Spirit's actuality and activities was the natural outcome of the most blessed and harmonious fellowship between these two members of the Godhead. A word or two is therefore necessary as to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. The fine flour, the unleavened Jesus, was mingled with oil, the Spirit. First, in His incarnation, our Lord emptied Himself, or stripped Himself, of the insignia of majesty. He became subject to the Father's will and lived His life in the realm of that will. He likewise became dependent upon the life-giving Holy Spirit, who was the one responsible for Jesus becoming a man. He also is in unity with Him, as they both are with the Father. The Spirit's actuality and activities was the natural outcome of the most blessed and harmonious fellowship between these two members of the Godhead, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. A word or two is therefore necessary. It is necessary, as to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. The fine flour, unleavened, and the oil with it. First, in his incarnation, our Lord emptied himself or stripped himself of the insignia of majesty. He likewise became dependent upon the life-giving Holy Spirit, who was the one responsible for Jesus becoming a man, as we read in Luke 1:35, and who imparted to him his full empowerment in all his preaching and teaching. Second, in the days of his flesh, the Holy Spirit seemed to have labored exclusively with Jesus. The Holy Spirit concentrated all energies on Jesus as he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, Acts 10:38. After Jesus' wonderful birth by the Spirit, there is no reference to the Spirit's association with any other individual until after his resurrection, when Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So that in John 20:22, we're at a point where the cycle of Jesus coming to earth, growing up as a human being so he'd have experiential knowledge and so that he can infuse grace, and then he goes to the cross after his period of teaching, and now when he gives us the Holy Spirit, that's the whole mission. That's the point of view of his going to the cross, is redemption. Once we have the Holy Spirit, we are awakened back into unity with God. There had to be a man both able and willing to receive the Spirit in all fullness, such as he did at Pentecost. For the first time in Jesus, man was able to receive the Holy Spirit in entirety. Mankind has now moved into the class of Christ. That is, we are joint heirs with him. The authority of immediate knowledge of all aspects of truth, then, wedded to the power of the Holy Spirit, gave the teachings of Jesus an original element. Thus prominent among his doctrines was the personal leadership of the Spirit in the individual and corporate life of Christianity. John 14:26. Jesus recognized that his purposes of salvation would be accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing home to the consciences of individuals the import of the preached words of Jesus. It was the Spirit who enlightened the minds of our Lord's auditors and broke to fruition a full harvest from the seeds of truth. In fact, when Jesus commenced his public ministry that Sabbath in the synagogue of Nazareth, it was the recognition of the power and work of the Holy Spirit in his life, works, and teachings. Luke 4:18-19. Abba, Father, in us, cry, earnest of our bliss on high, seal of immortality, comforter divine. The fact of the leadership of the Spirit in the life of Jesus is stressed in the accounts of his temptation after his baptism in terms like, led by the Spirit drives him, he was full of the Spirit, and God gave his Son the Spirit, not by measure, but in its fullness. Jesus could speak of himself as him whom God had sealed, and since it is by the Spirit of God that we are sealed. We remember the forecast of John the Baptist that Jesus would come as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30 and John 6:27. The Spirit's ascent upon Jesus attested or sealed the Father's approval of his Son and gave great value to his teaching, not only about the Spirit, but about every other topic. Because of his own baptism with the Spirit by the Father, Jesus had the authority and ability to baptize in the Spirit. It must be observed that the Gospels never speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but always in or with the Spirit, the element in whom we are baptized. A person, Jesus is a person, And to Jesus, the Holy Spirit was no mere influence. He was only without a visible body as Jesus had. All the elements of personality were his. For instance, terms of personality of the Spirit were continuously employed by Jesus. Pronouns like he, him, and himself are used frequently throughout the Gospels. Count up the personal pronouns Jesus used of the Spirit in John, and you will conclude that our fellowship is not with something but someone. Further, the qualities and operations of personality were attributed to the Holy Spirit by Jesus and his revelation of him. The Spirit can teach, reveal, and communicate the truth. The Spirit can impart joy and gladness. That Jesus himself was anointed with the oil of gladness is evident from Luke's account of the feelings of Jesus when the 70 returned from their mission and reported what mighty things had been accomplished. Is that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit? In that hour, in Hebrews 1:9, he says that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. And this is important to us because he fulfilled all of this so that we do the same. At the hour, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit with rapturous joy. Further, Jesus believed not only in the personality of the Holy Spirit, but also in his deity. And he is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit inspired holy men to understand the truth, then sent it forth. And he is the revealer of truth and a constant witness to it. The Spirit is thus named 100 times in the Scripture under this title of Holy Spirit. The Spirit of power. Power is the predominant feature of the Spirit's ministry, and that such power is not something but someone. Power is the manifestation of the Spirit's presence. This is evident in the life and work of Jesus. All the miracles of Jesus were performed through the Holy Spirit, especially the cure of demoniacs, which was a conspicuous feature of the Master's miraculous ministry. The disciples were promised that power would be theirs as the Holy Spirit came upon them, and also it is upon us. The finger of God is on us as the Holy Spirit operates in us, for us, and around us, and through us, and he is the Comforter, the Divine Comforter. He is announced in his coming departure that Jesus exhorted the disciples not to be troubled in heart or mourn because of the coming separation, because they would have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Grace and peace to you. Many people like to get a fast response for prayer requests, so I'm giving you my post office box number so that you can send a letter and make a prayer request or send a donation that way. Write to Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, P.O. Box 460512, Denver, Colorado 80246. You may also listen to the programs again and download them, as well as find contact information on 670KLTT.com on the weekday program guide. Click on Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, and you'll be right there at my website. Thank you for joining me weekly here at Abiding in Christ Ministries for Kingdom, Covenant, and Mediator.